Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and thank you for remembering those that are in need of a touch from the Lord. And as we get involved into our study tonight, this is the eighth day of October. As we mentioned a while ago, just talking around, that it's about time for us to have a killing frost, but probably be next week sometime, but it's going in that direction pretty fast. And that we might remember in the times and seasons was made for man. And sometimes we get our seasons a little confused with other things that dealing with time, but time was not made for God. It was made for us.
Amen.
And, but it comes from Him. So we still need to remember all these things and not to take it upon ourselves that, to be too quick to judge, but we realize that He has left us here with this, and we need to deal with it as it comes along. I ask you to turn with me again to Luke 7. Let me go back to Luke.
That's where Craig was last night. Yeah, we're getting good messages of Luke.
Okay. In Luke 7, I want to go start with verse. I want to start with verse 22. Things kind of funny doing this, but you know we dealt one week with the widow's son and. The things that went along with this widow that had lost her son, and that Jesus raises her son back up to life and give him to his mother, just like a doctor would do the birthing of a child from a lady and give the baby back to its mother. And I thought, man, that was really strange that the Lord would do that, but it showed two things, and it showed that he was having an association here with the Lord's person as God. The raiser of the dead. And of course, he was also dealing with this lady as a man and not God. And he was showing his compassion there to that lady concerning her problems. And he was here teaching his disciples to do all this, and all these things were showing up, and that's what really gets me. The things that Christ was going to do, it seemed like that everything was there and falling in place with all this stuff. And if God didn't have a hand in it, who would, you know?
Well, Christ said He only did the will of the Father.
Yeah, okay.
Everything He did.
So that was the way everything went along. I don't know how many of these salvation studies that I've done already, but this was a good one. And I want to start.
We'll ask Chip.
Okay, he realized that we wouldn't putting numbers.
Well, he'll keep you straight now.
Numbers with it no more, but so I'm going back to salvation study, and I'll be in salvation for a while. because until we had Christ and Him up walking and Him learning and Him coming to gather up His disciples, they only had the law. And so now, when He started with His disciples, He started teaching them, and they went down through this thing for a while. And then when He got all of them lined up and scattered out and they got to see all these things that took place, then they got, He started going with them to the cities that they had been to and going back over some things that they had it talked about, and one of them was the things not going into the Samaritans, not going to the Samaritans. But guess what? We're getting close to the Samaritan city. But here's salvation in Luke 7, and we're going to start at verse 22. And we're going to try to go from Luke 7:22, and then go to John 4, chapter 4 and verse 2. So we're jumping around a little bit again. Got it marked right. Maybe I need to go to John 3 instead of Luke 7. Maybe I was right again with John 3:22. Let's see if it was John 3:22. Yeah. So going back to John 3:22, then we want to go to John 4:2, and we'll finish up with this thing with John the Baptist. So I told you wrong to begin with. Turn with me to John 3, and we'll start with 22 and go a few verses and get into John 4:2. Okay. I'm going to read out of the King James, and then I'm going to read my notes. We'll talk about it a little bit as we go along. Okay. And it says, and after these things came, Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. Okay, did Jesus baptize? No, it was his disciples that baptized. John didn't come to baptize. Jesus didn't come to baptize. And it was kind of like when we got in Ronnie's study in 2 Corinthians, he said, Paul said, I didn't come to baptize.
Yeah. Come and preach the cross.
I came to speak the word of God. Because at that time, he had become God's spokesman for the rest of the world at that day and time. Okay? But 22 here says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he carried with him and baptized. Okay, I got to look at this and I said, wait a minute. I didn't understand that Jesus was doing the baptizing, but he wasn't, but he was with his people that did the baptizing for him. So he didn't do the actual baptizing himself, but he was there. So after these things, and this word there is, in the Greek is meta. after. Meta, appendage 104, XI-2, and it says a note in time, frequently when in the book of John. It says, in the book of John, frequently you will get, and it come to pass, or after these things pass, or these Hebrewisms that we find in Scripture. It says, came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized, or was engaging with the baptizing. He didn't necessarily have to do it, but he was there as it was happening, okay? And so we get a lot of information out of these early books, and sometimes it's a little hard to begin to take in, but boy, sometimes it makes a lot of sense, with, especially to me, with what I know or think I know. And I look back at this and realize, well, I'm not really sure how they done their business sometimes. Because it wasn't long before this they was talking about that Jesus went into the temple and throwed out the people with the money changers. It was doing trick there.
Yeah.
And I found out that they had a law that it was against the law to go into a house of worship and carry anything through it. So he tossed them out with what stuff they had. And he said, you know, you're making this a den of merchandise.
Like going to the mall.
Yeah. Like, you know. And so I thought, well, my goodness. Well, I've looked in other places, and it talked like, said, well, when Jesus was healing, and he would heal on the Sabbath day and tell somebody to take up whatever they was there to do or with, and said, take up your bed or your couch and go home. And they wanted to get him for that. He asked him a lot of questions about these things, and I don't know that they come to a great agreement on there now, but it said, let's go back to verse 23. They said, and John was baptizing in Anon Springs. The springs near Uma and Nam. This was 7.5 miles below Bethsan, and it was near to Salem. It's not Salem, but it's S-A-L-I-M, Salem. Still so called because there was much water there. And it says, and they came and were baptizing. And so, if they got to a place where there's much water and it was clean, yeah, that was part of that situation. Well, you know, John was, he was baptizing beyond Jordan. He was on Jericho side of Jordan. And, but how he was baptizing, in the Jordan River over there. And, so I could see the difference if they found good water somewhere that they would, and they were baptizing. It says in verse 24. And I'll read what it says, and then I read my notes. It's just a little short verse. But it says, for John was not yet in prison. Well, if you get back to the book of Luke, you can find in the book of Luke where John was already in prison. But here, there's a little time lapse difference between John and Luke. And so Luke was kind of in front of John because I think John was the last book written, probably. And it said, for John at this point was not yet cast into prison. And so I thought, well, we've been talking about that and how John was doing a lot of baptizing. And he was supposedly a prophet in that day, or was looked upon by many as being a prophet. As we look at the different ones that was writing about him. And so, I thought, well, let me read on. So let's go to verse 25, and it says, and there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. So it starts out in verse 25 as the word then. So you could transpose that then to therefore. And I made a little note in all of my dealings down through the years with the word therefore. And therefore, to me, is kind of like coming up in the country somewhere where there wasn't very many buildings or anything, and you come up to a railroad track. And it had these two signs, one on each side of the railroad track, but back then, the early ones didn't have no arms that swung down, so you had to kind of fend for yourself. So you had to stop, look, and listen. And so I think that's what therefore is there for. It's kind of like being at a railroad track, and there's one down next to Santee Cooper where we go fishing. And it's in a little old town, and you get off the interstate and you're wanting to bebop on down the fishing hole. And here you come up to this railroad track, and the trees have grown up over the railroad track, and there's a little warehouse on one side of it. And you better not just jump across that thing, because it may be a train under them limbs of them trees. And so, on that one, that's the only one that I know of now that you need to stop, look, and listen. But that,
I think of those ones you're talking about.
That's something that you really need to do for that. So it says, okay, then on account of the facts stated in verse 22 through 24, there arose a question between some of, or on the part of, John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And this came up about John's disciples, certain of John's answers on purification, which you can find in Luke 2:22. In 5:14, if you want to go back and look at that, but we won't do that tonight for trying to get on through part of this study. And then it says in verse 26, we'll read 26 from King James, and it says, they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with these beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. So they raised the question about John the Baptizer here and what he was doing in Jordan and what they were doing in these spring waters. Okay, and they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi. Let me turn the page and it says, he that was with thee beyond or over Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, and it says, behold, the same baptizes witnesses, all and all men come to him. So, at the beginning, this baptizing thing was, John had the corner on it to begin with. But here now, Christ is going from place to place, and he finds these springs, and his men start baptizing. And so there was the answer about this. Is one as good a place as the other to purify yourself? Because it seems like they were using it for a purification process.
Yeah.
Now.
The baptism of repentance.
Yeah, the baptism of repentance. Well, you know, the people that believed in idols, they had a kind of a purification process, or they thought they were going through it anyway.
Carnal washing.
Carnal washing. Okay. So you see where we're getting at here. Verse 27 said, and John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So, John made the statement, well, I can't see the difference in it because if it comes from the God of heaven, and it was done in the right mind, then, you know, he didn't see anything, any problem with that concerning purification. And it said, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing. Receive theirs to take upon himself nothing, except it be, and here's a double negative in the Greek, uden. And, there, and a bunch of these things here in John 3 and 4 and 5, that there's several double negatives. He says, unless it be Uden given him from heaven. And it said, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ or the Messiah, but that I am sent before him. So John finishes that up. In 27 and 28, because they kind of go together. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ and that I am sent before him. He was one that God placed John before Christ because he was 6 months older than Christ. They were first cousins. And so, John's mama and Christ's mama has a man was 6 months apart. We went through that too and went back and looked at one of the appendages where it gives all these dates. Everything that come up in those dates, Satan tried to cover up with a bunch of his stuff that had been put out. That, well, you know, you can do this, you can do that, you can do the other. And he tries to cover up everything that God puts forth by his son. But he
always has.
He always has. And he always will until he is put up there and he has become fire and he burns up completely. and is here no more. So, 28 ought to go with 27. He said, I'm not the Christ, but I am sent before him. Verse 29, he that hath the bride, and I like this. Now, this is John talking. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. It's just like they went to a wedding. And the bridegroom was doing his part, and the bride was there, and she was doing her vow.
Kind of what John's saying. Yeah, I'm content to be the bridegroom.
Yeah, I'm content to be the bridegroom's friend. You know what I mean? And if he's happy, I'm happy. And so that's kind of the way that thing turned out in verse 29. And he said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, full stop. Stop and think about that a minute. But the friend of the bridegroom, he played a very important part in the wedding ceremonies, which they usually do. That's the friend of the bridegroom is, he's there to give his buddy a little, what up? Oh, you done it, man. You done it. Okay. It says, at the wedding ceremony which standeth and hears him, he rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And that's another full stop. And the note says this, and it changes a little bit, but it says, I joyeth with joy. Therefore, my joy is therefore fulfilled. So when he hears the bridegroom's friend do his part, and there's great joy there, then whoever else is there gets the joy of understanding what's
happening. Well, he said, he that hath the bride, which is Christ, Christ is the groom, bridegroom. And
he can say that.
He can say that. But now if you think about it, this is as the kingdom is being offered the first time.
Yeah.
This is not the book of Acts. This is the Lord on the earth offering, and during the whole offer of the kingdom, John relates that he's the one that's going to get the bride. So the bride that is going to come down, the bride is the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. So unless John was just using a metaphor.
Well, he was.
Which I know he was, but it may have a deeper meaning. All I'm saying is he may be verifying here that, hey, the bride is going to be his. He's the one that's.
This is the first one you've seen.
Yeah,
we've talked about in the last 30 minutes.
That's what I think. It just kind of hit me as I was reading.
Well, it goes on. It didn't stop here. It didn't.
Sorry, I didn't.
Well, no, that's what I was looking for. He has received his testimony. It says, has set to his seal that God is true. And if you don't believe that God is true, go back to the appendix, like I said a while ago. 175a, a characteristic word of this gospel. So it's a characteristic word of the gospel to show you, this is it. Okay. Verse 34. It says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, full stop. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
Verse 30 or 34?
34. Yeah.
Okay.
So it says, for him who God has sent speaketh the rhema, or the words of God, full stop, for God giveth not the Spirit with article. This was by measure unto John, but not unto the Lord. Okay, John was given this understanding as he came out of the wilderness. And John got his measure of understanding that way, but not so with Christ, because Christ could even remember what he done in the life before he was placed into Mary's womb.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, what John saw and heard was limited. But the Son of God is not limited.
Yeah.
And so he comes to do what he promised God he would do aeons ago. And so here we are back to this. And I don't know if anybody can remember anything basically from another life or before this. I couldn't believe them if I heard it. But John saw and heard, what he saw and heard was limited, but not the Son of God. God asked him to give him back the glory that he had.
Oh, he remembered, yeah.
Before this come about. Even in the book of John, it don't say it here, but it denotes that it's there somewhere. Okay? And then we get to verse 35, and it's 35 says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. So, here we are talking about, well, who did the baptizing, who didn't do the baptizing, where it was done or how it was done, and they come to agreement on that part of it. But then it says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And so, when the Son and the Father made the agreement that the Son would come and take care of our sins in another age, basically.
Yeah, thousands of years before.
Yeah, and he did that. And when he arose from the grave after 3 days.
In 3 days.
That he stayed with them 40 days. And he went back to where he come down from heaven, and he went back up, and the men in white apparel was standing there and said, as you see him go back, you see him come back.
Yeah.
He's not gone for good. He's just gone for time. It's in his hand. Now, because the Father gave the Son the Holy Spirit to deal with. And now, the Holy Spirit deals with mankind and takes all this situation to the Son that sits at the Father's right hand. And so, that's the way the three parts of all this thing works out. And so, therefore, it was given unto the Holy Spirit to do the intercession, make the difference between man and the Son. But when the Son is given, or when the man accepts the Son of God, then he accepts salvation. That's the reason I call this study salvation. Okay, and it says in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's just pretty plain. It's like a young lady driving up to a dance or something somewhere and got Hollywood wrote on her plates. You know, everybody sees it or can see it if they care to.
It's one of my favorite verses, actually.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, he has missed his salvation.
Yeah.
Well, how close can you come?
And that has nothing to do with the life that he's living, because even so, how can he believe not if he's not alive? He's alive.
He's alive.
Believes not. He's not going to see the life or the true life.
Well, that's what most people that have never accepted Christ, they can't understand that. They
can't discern it, yeah.
They can't discern it because they don't have the ability to do it. And so, since he that believeth on the Son hath life, has eternal life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It cannot be made any plainer.
The death.
Christ Jesus is salvation.
Yep. And life.
Yeah, and life. Well, salvation.
Yes.
You gotta have salvation to have life. Because it says plain. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it.
And the wrath of God is death.
Yeah. Okay. So, we got down to the fourth chapter of John. And so that kind of settles all this situation with baptism to a point. And it says a little earlier in John 3 that these disciples, in the notes especially, it says that they baptized more than John the Baptist did.
Well, there was a dozen of them.
Yeah, and so, and it wasn't long after John started his baptism until they put him in jail. He didn't get to do it a long time. He didn't get to do it nearly as long as Christ did while he was here. And so, when you get to looking and you get to thinking, from 404 B.C., to 4 B.C. is 4,000 years. Okay, and so Christ had been born, and then at 4 years old, it started A.D. Okay, and now we're in the deal between 26 A.D. and 30 A.D. Now, does that mean anything to you? You better believe it does. Because some of these, I call them metaphors or whatever, or the figures of speech, you can take it one way or another way, but when he talks to this young lady, there is a lot of stuff that you can pick out from that. So we got 15 minutes. Let's get started in it. And in the next study we have, well, we don't know yet where it'll be next Wednesday or not, but if we don't next Wednesday, we'll finish it the next if the Lord willing. So we're going to go straight into chapter 4 of John dealing with this woman that was a Samaritan. Jesus said, don't go to them. Why? Well, this study will tell you a lot about why. Because they come back to Jesus and said, well, you can oust the demons in people. But why can't we oust these demons? And so that has been taken care of and answered that, because Christ, it's in his hands, not the disciples' hands so much to do that. He can give the disciples what power that they need, but he didn't give them that power. And so we have to look at it as they looked at it in order to see why, a lot of times.
Yeah, there was some of it that the disciples couldn't cast out.
Yeah. When therefore, here's this other therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Okay. We've already gone over that, so we know how that was said. The Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Well, his followers or his disciples did that for him in his midst. So we kind of got that figured out in the very first verse of John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord came to know how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. John never represented. John never referred to the Sadducees by name. Made there or making or baptized. So the Sadducees, they didn't come for baptizing because they didn't believe in that. And so John, he always talked about the Pharisees, but he never talked about Sadducees because they weren't from the same group of folks that Christ took his people from there. So the Sadducees was kind of like the Samaritans. They were in a different mode of understanding. They were basically unbelievers. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in this, that, and the other. The Sadducees didn't. So when baptism was offered, hey, we ain't going to do that. Okay? Verse 2. Verse 2 is a parenthetical insertion. It says, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Okay, we got another answer here. So, there's not much to read as far as in, anything in the notes there. It says, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples did this for him. Verse 3. And this is a little short. Based on scripture too. It says, he, Jesus, left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And it was not the practice of Jesus to baptize himself. If you go to the notes and look at it in the notes of the Companion Bible, they tried to make it pretty plain that it wasn't Jesus, but it was his disciples. And then verse 4, it says, and he must needs to go through Samaria. Okay, what's the big deal here? Samaria. He must needs means that there's a pre-planning that has been done here.
Pre-arranged.
It's been pre-arranged that somebody's going to be there that Jesus needs to see. You know, we talked about the last few studies that we had that the dealings with Christ going on was like some of these stars, maybe ball stars or actors or singers or whatever. And whenever they would get ready to do a big concert somewhere or something, then they would be somebody warm up the crowd. Well, it says this in 4, and his must needs. Okay. So that was the front of the group that was going to get everything ready. It wasn't anybody but 2 people. It was Jesus and the girl, Samaritan girl. I don't think it gave her a name yet. I don't think it ever gave her a name. But the thing was this, in his must needs, or it was necessary for him to go through Samaria, not only geographically. Now, this is in the notes of the companion Bible, but including the divine connections or the the councils, which is called which in the place was called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, known as Jacob's Well. Well, that gives you a good bit of understanding. Here was these Samaritans here dealing with these early Jews that they probably didn't agree with. And there's a well there. And Jacob, no telling how much he spent on getting that well on that plain dug, because it was 105 feet deep and it had 15 foot of water in it back in the day. And it was up on a kind of a, what we would call a mesa, a flat place. And it was above a lot of the rest of the part of the land there. It was kind of on the edge of not a cliff, but a kind of a slanted portion of that land. And it was probably pretty close to water that they could see somewhere, because they really needed to know what the water level was, or what the basin level was, that they had to go down to get water. And it was probably so high until they couldn't run their cattle down it, nothing, because it would be too steep to do that. So, nice little corner of land out there somewhere that they decided to build a well. And it wasn't near this town of Sychar or whatever it was, but Sychar. But it had all the stuff that you need to know before you get involved in something like a deep well like that. And this was not built in a day or 2 days. It took some time to build that. Yeah. Okay. Verse 5. Okay. And it says in 4, his must needs to go through Samaria. So we know. We kind of know now a little bit about that regardless of what he had on his mind, he was going to go through Samaria. And it said, he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, because they had been on a journey, sat thus on the well. Evidently, it had been floored some way, and it was about the 6th hour or about noontime. Okay, we got that. Well, you know, if in the summertime over there, if it's like it is here, it's pretty steamy. So, Jesus was sitting there, and he was by himself, and he was waiting on his disciples to come back, I guess, from Samaria with the food. Because they must have come in another way. It would tell me that if they'd come through Samaria first, they'd have got them something to eat before they got into this plain area that they, it's kind of like a desert almost, like it'd be home. Okay. And he was weary with his journey, and he sat at the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, full stop. Oh, she come to the well. He was sitting at the well. One man, one woman. No more in sight, nowhere. Oh, I guess she kind of got thinking, this ain't good. But she recognized him as being a Jew. And that ain't good either, because
they don't have any dealings with
her. They really don't have any dealings with a woman unless there's something special going on, and they wouldn't at this time, they wouldn't. And said, Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. And let me see, I'm looking at. Okay. Jesus said, therefore, being wearied with his journey, thus saying, or was sitting on or by the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or noontime, for them. And it says, verse 7, then, there cameth a woman of Samaria to draw water, full stop. Well, evidently Jesus may have had to move to let her drop her bucket down in the well. But Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. His first words, but at least 7 times, but probably 10 times, he spoke to the woman. And the final declaration that he spoke to her was in verse 26, is to we, I'm out of time. I want to go to verse 8. And it said, another parenthetical insertion, for the disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat or food. Food there was known as all kinds of food. And I want to do verse 9, and we'll probably be a good place to stop. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with these Samaritans. And this is another parenthetical insertion. That's things that we need to know that we wouldn't have known had this not been in Scripture. Okay, so her point was, why are you talking to me? And what do you want? Well, he already knows what he wants, because he's there at the well and he's wanting to drink water. He ain't got no bucket, no rope. And so this brings up a lot of questions with her and him. And then when the disciples come back, it's a lot of questions between him and his disciples, because the disciples said, why are you talking to
him? Yeah, why are you talking to him for?
And he, because what he told her in this thing, well, he says, if you would have known what to say unto me and would have understood who I was or who I am coming to be, he said, you would have known the answers to the questions that I've asked you, because you were sitting there in the presence of salvation and didn't know how to receive it. And what she said then, and then what he said, was an answer to her question, because she didn't understand it and she didn't know what to say and she didn't ask the right question. But if she'd asked the right questions, or if she would have led on to him that she knew or had a little inkling of who he might be, then she was that close to receiving eternal life. But it didn't happen right then. So that's next step. Let's say we've gotten to this point that all these people were going around doing these things, doing these baptizing, and then Jesus and his disciples were out going somewhere and went somewhere that he told them not to go. But he knew how to handle the problem. And I don't believe we're sitting here not really fully understanding the thing that Jesus brought out to them that we ain't seen yet. And that's the reason I brought up the thing between 4004 B.C. and 4 B.C. and then down to the point to where when Jesus was born until he got into his ministry. Because here he is in his ministry. Okay, if that was from 26 A.D. to 29 A.D., so when he told her and she understood and she went back to town and he went with her. And they went back to town and he stayed with them 2 days. So if 2 days, I mean, if a day is like 1,000 years with God, and that was when he was dealing with Adam was 1,000 years. And 4,000 years was the difference between when Adam was made and when Christ was reborn as man. 4,000 years. But again, he stayed with them 2 days, which would equal 2,000 years. But you add 2,000 years to 26 to 29 A.D., and you get 2026 to 2029. Ooh. Ooh. If that's true. If the day that he was with him equal to him or to God, if it was that one day for Christ is 1,000 years, well, he's part of the Godhead, so that makes sense to me.
In scripture, we're definitely coming up on the Sabbath of the millenniums.
Here we are. We're sitting here now talking about something that the man from California came here and said, okay, I put all this in my computer. This is what I come up. 2062, 2063. Okay, we're talking about 2026 to 2029. Oh. About 30 something years. Do we understand what we know, or do we think we do? That's your study for next time. You can agree or you can disagree. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying that circumstance makes it look pretty presentable at that point. Because I'm not a computer guy. But I go back and look at Adam. And he was man and he was given dominion and he didn't keep it. Because his wife talked him into something else. And I ain't gonna go any further with that, but the fact is that Adam was the first man, but Jesus Christ is salvation. He's the last man.
Amen.
And if we have a part and parcel in anything else in eternity, and we're going to be part of him, yeah, okay. I don't want to pass that up. I don't. If I can see something there that kind of gives me understanding there, I'm going to try to take it because that's as close as my 88 years gives me is knowledge of scripture that I didn't ever have, didn't ever hear. And when I heard Larry start speaking, Larry Dyer, my first thing in my mind was, where's this man been all my life? Because I was raised by my grandpa and grandma. My grandpa was a Wesleyan Methodist minister. He didn't know anything about the truth of this era or the age that we live in now or look forward to another age. Basically, everybody's wanting to walk the streets of gold that I had heard about. But here's something else that kind of fits or matches some of this stuff that I'm not really truly certain with, but it seemed to have the ring of a connection.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like a live wire out in your yard. If you know there's power on that thing, you don't want to get on it because the connection would probably take you away at that point. But a connection can draw you into something that if you don't know how it works, then you might just go out and want to pick it up, play with it, but that wouldn't work. So here we are. Starting to get some of these questions that we might not have the answer to. But boy, I like to look. Now, I've spent 2 days now just about nothing else but looking. And I enjoy it and we're in bed. And I think that's the reason the Lord let me live this long.
Amen.
I look at my brother up there in the bed. And I tried to reason with myself as to how I might have been able to get him to quit smoking. Because I think all this kind of boils down to it. Because he's one big stent. And I'm no example of wellness, but I'm still here. And I promised God that day that I said, Lord, if you'll clean me up, take away my smoking, and whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it regardless. And so I've tried to do that all these years. It took me 33 years, but I listen to some of this country music and they say, oh, prop me up inside the jukebox. I don't want to go to heaven tonight. Well, I know better than that. I still like to hear these songs, but I can relate to some of this. But I said, well, he don't know what he's talking about. But he don't even know what heaven is, the guy singing the song.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got something in common there. I've talked on, so I'll quit and let you close, and we'll do it again.